So our description for today's class is, it can be tempting in the little years to adopt an identity surrounding your children. Learn how to keep Christ and service to His church central in your life and family when the kids are little and life is crazy. So let's talk about the little years. If you've lived them, or are living them, or one day you hope to live them in the future, you know or will know it's an endless time of laundry, which leads to endless folding. It's a time of sticky hands, which leads to sticky clothes and fingerprints everywhere. It's a time of sleepless nights. And it's a time of buckles, so many buckles. You buckle them into a car seat, you buckle them into a stroller, a high chair, a bouncy seat, a swing, but then you have to unbuckle them to get them out. So many buckles. Who would have thought? And during this time, life can feel like a blur. It simultaneously flies by, yet feels like it's standing still all at once. And you can't forget the diapers. So many diapers. I was a classroom teacher for 20 years, and most of that time was spent teaching middle school math, so I had to do some calculations for you. Did you know, on average, from the time you have your little one until they're potty trained, I used age 3. I know many of you in this room are ahead of that curve, so the math may be slightly different for you. But you will have changed 7,740 diapers. And that's just for one. Let's keep doing the math. Two, 15,480 diapers. Three, 23,220 diapers. Now, I'm going to stop there, but those of you that need to continue on, you can keep doing the math. I'll give you the calculations later so you know what they are. In these years, your hands are always full. Before your feet hit the ground every morning, you're full with babies, full of bags, full of burdens, full of responsibilities, full of noises, crying, babbling, laughter. And to be honest, sometimes they're full with being overwhelmed. Motherhood is sacred work. It's kingdom work. You're shaping souls. Even in all the chaos, never lose sight of that. And when your hands are full with your children, your heart can slowly become centered on them. Not intentionally, not rebelliously, God bless you, just gradually. You begin to introduce yourself as mom. Here's my name tag, mom. Your schedule begins to revolve around them. Your emotions begin to rise and fall with them and their emotions. Without realizing it, Christ can move from the center of your life to the sidelines. So today's main point is that we need to understand three truths during the little years so that we keep Christ and service to His church central to our life and our family. So let's look at our first point today. Your identity is not the same as your role. It can be tempting in the season of little ones to slowly adopt a new identity. You may find yourself thinking or even verbally saying things like, I'm just a mom. My life is about my children. I'm too busy. I'll serve again later. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, we're told that God chose us and adopted us as His children. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Before you ever held your baby, you were held by Christ. Your identity is not mom. Your identity is a daughter of God. Be careful to never let that truth get buried under all the busyness of your days. Your roles will shift, your identity must not. Imagine wearing a name tag just like mine today that says mom all day long. It's accurate, it's meaningful, it's beautiful. And this one's even beautifully written, thanks to my dear friend Debbie. But what happens if this name tag slowly replaces every other label, the deeper ones that are rooted in Christ? Chosen, redeemed, beloved, adopted, forgiven, bondservant. That's the name tag that we wear first, each and every day, regardless of our role as a mom. Psalm 127 reminds us, children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage, it's a gift, a stewardship, not a source of worth. Matthew 10, 37b clearly cautions us when Jesus says, anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's a strong warning, but it's a necessary warning that comes from a loving and protective God. The little years are not a pause on your calling, they're a part of your calling. The question isn't whether your hands are full, the question is, what are they filled with? If you have your Bibles, would you open to Galatians 2:20? Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul doesn't say my role defines me. He says Christ defines me. Motherhood is sacred, but it's not ultimate. Your children are a blessing, but they are not your savior. Your home is important, but it's not your throne. Your roles change as the years go on, but your identity in Christ never changes. Be very careful of a quiet danger that can creep in during the little years. And it's the thought process of thinking that because your children need you constantly, you start to make them first in all things and let everything in the home and family revolve around them. Ladies, Christ deserves first place in all things, in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in how you parent, and in how you serve. Your life should be centered on Christ and revolve around Christ, not your children. Children need a mom who loves Jesus more than she loves them. When Christ is first, your parenting flows from him. Your patience flows from him. Your strength comes from him. Your endurance comes from him. By the way, children make terrible saviors. But Jesus does not. So ladies, I want to ask you, what are your hands filled with? Little ones or Christ? Does your peace rise and fall with your children's obedience? Does your joy depend on their accomplishments? And a point of application for you, begin each day reminding yourself that you are a daughter of the King before you are anyone's mom. So knowing the difference between your identity in Christ and your role as a mom is one truth that you will need to understand during the little years so that we keep Christ and service to his church central in our life and family. So let's go to point two. Providing and receiving sacrificial service. You should be sacrificially serving the church, and you should be willing to accept sacrificial service from the church. So let's first consider the providing sacrificial service part. And we need to really understand what sacrificial service means to be able to actually begin providing it. So sacrificial service is the joyful offering of oneself, their time, energy, comfort, resources, and personal desires for the glory of God and the good of others, motivated by Christ's love and modeled after his ultimate sacrifice. Let me say that one more time. Sacrificial service is the joyful offering of oneself, which includes their time, energy, comfort, resources, and personal desires for the glory of God and the good of others, motivated by Christ's love and modeled after his ultimate sacrifice. Sacrificial service begins with offering our whole selves to the Lord, not just part of us, not just what makes us comfortable, and not just what is convenient, and not what is just easy. You may have already heard me say this, but speaking to all of you and being in front of all of you is one of my least favorite things to do. It's not because I don't love you. You all have beautiful faces, and you are a beautiful crowd, and I love you all dearly, but you make me nervous, and you scare me. Put me in front of a room full of children, I am just perfectly content and fine. But put me in front of a room of beautiful women like all of you, and I get terrified.
You're doing great.
Praise God. In my flesh, every time I'm asked, I want to say no. But I recognize that that would be very selfish of me. And I would be putting my own fleshly desires and my comfort ahead of what the Lord wants me to do. I would not be serving sacrificially if I said no. So sacrificial service is rooted in obedience, humility, and love of others. Romans 12:1 tells us it's rooted in full surrender to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not occasional, rather, it's a continuing offering of our whole self. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, they tell us sacrifice flows from the example of Christ. If you want to flip there, you're close to it in Galatians, you can flip to your right to Philippians 2, 5 and 8. I have the mic so they can hear it. Thank you, though. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And in Mark 10:45, we learn, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was the ultimate model for sacrificial service. While you're in Philippians, you can look at verse 3 and 4, and it tells us that sacrificial service prioritizes others above ourselves. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I forgot there were people in the hallway. They said I could use this mic for them. So hopefully that speaker came on and they can hear me out there. Good? Okay, thanks. Talk about being terrified. This is even double now. Two mics. And I also want to point out in Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Ladies, we not only have to sacrificially serve, but we have to be careful of the motive behind the service as well. And it matters as much as the act of the service. It's empowered by love, not obligation. It's not giving the leftovers in service. It requires you to give up something meaningful, your time, your energy, your preferences, your recognition, your desires. It's a life poured out for others that's motivated by Christ's love and offered as worship to God. Providing sacrificial service is something we're commanded to do in the scriptures. We must do it. Are you? Is it sacrificial? A few points of application. Your time is the Lord's time. It's not your own. Is that truth reflective in your life? Second point of application, be aware of where God is calling you to serve that feels costly right now at this moment. And are you running towards that or away from that? So let's shift now and start to talk about the receiving end of sacrificial service. So remember, sacrificial service is the joyful offering of oneself, their time, their energy, their comfort, resources, and personal desires for the glory of God and the good of others, motivated by Christ's love and modeled after his ultimate service. So receiving sacrificial service means that you are humbly accepting the love, the care, and resources of others in the body of Christ when it costs them something, and you're allowing God to minister to you through them. It requires that you, as the receiver, have humility, that you're able to admit there's a need. Trust, believing God will use people and their giftedness. Unity, allowing yourself to be included as a functioning part of the whole body. Galatians 6:2 tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:25-26, it says, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Receiving sacrificial service is not a sign of weakness, or that you're not capable of doing something or handling something. It's obedience within the body of Christ. It honors God's design for the church and allows others to love and serve as Christ intended. Do you ever think, I should be able to handle this myself? Oh, others have a greater need than I do. I don't want to inconvenience anyone. This may be pride disguised as independence. In John 13:8, Peter says to Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answers him saying, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Ladies, are you letting others who are using their gifts to serve you sacrificially? Are you allowing them to free you up to serve while you're at church? Are you utilizing the nursery servants on Sunday mornings to take care of your little ones so you can sit in service and be fed the word without any distractions? Are you utilizing the nursery and the children's ministry servants on Sunday mornings to take care of your babies and your children so you're freed up to serve somewhere else on a Sunday morning? Are you allowing the Wednesday night Adventure Club servants to tend to your children to free you up to serve in another classroom or attend praise and prayer service? As you think of those things, I'm going to share a couple points of application. Don't be afraid of the nursery because your children will get sick. Little ones get sick. Don't be afraid they may cry when you drop them off. Little ones cry. And don't adopt the thinking that I'll wait till they're older to put them in nursery, Sunday school, GoPro, Adventure Club. It doesn't get any easier when they don't get used to it. As a teacher, I told you I was a classroom teacher. We'll have to use my method called the banana peel then. And some of you may have heard me say this when your kids were little and I was teaching Sunday school. I'll peel them off of you. You leave quickly. If they don't settle down, I'll call you. And chances are, within the next 2, 3, maybe 5 minutes, they'll settle down. And if they don't, we'll be faithful to call you. So ladies, sometimes staying faithful with full hands means serving differently, not disappearing entirely. Instead of asking, what can I no longer do? Ask, what can I faithfully do in this season with little ones? So two truths that we've covered so far that we need to understand during the little years so that we keep Christ in service to his church central to our lives and our families is one, know the difference between your identity in Christ and your role as mom. And two, provide and receive sacrificial service. So let's look at our third point. Identifying and using your spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are abilities given by the Holy Spirit to believers for the purpose of building up the church and glorifying God. They are graciously given to us for service. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7 tells us that they originate with God. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 1 Peter 4:10 states that they are given to every believer. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ephesians 4:11-12 tells us that they are to be used to build up the church. And he himself gave some to apostles, some to prophets and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 tells us they're to be used in love. Though I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. In Ephesians 4:7, we learn they reflect God's grace, not human merit. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So sometimes women have a hard time figuring out what their gift is, especially in the little years when they don't even have time to think about what they're going to do next, right? So I want you to reflect on a couple of verses that will help you determine what your gift is if you don't know what your gift is already. In Romans 12:6-8, it's there in Scripture, it speaks to the serving of the body. In 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, Scripture speaks to the manifestation of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:28-30, it speaks of the roles and functions in the church. In Ephesians 4:11-13, it speaks to the leadership gifts for equipping. And in 1 Peter 4:10-11, it speaks to the gifts of the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. There's not one exhaustive list of gifts, but I'm going to let you listen to a few of them so you can start to let them resonate in your mind. Administration, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, serving, teaching, wisdom. You can also ask yourself some questions like, what do I love to do? What opportunities excite me? Have I been trained or educated to do something? What do those closest to me say that I'm good at? They're going to know you the best. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in both you to will and to do for his good pleasure." You can also think about a time or a season where you felt that God used you most to impact someone or encourage someone or help someone. John 15:8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple." And probably the most important question to ask is there affirmation from the church? Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Another way to think about what your gift is and how to figure out how you can use it to serve the body is to think about the different groups of people you like to be with. Maybe you like to be with the children, children's ministry, nursery, adventure club, Grace Kids Camp, youth group, GoPro, special buddies. Maybe you like to be surrounded by senior saints, elder care, homebound ministry, the widows. Maybe you like athletes and you are a sports fanatic. Sports ministries, soccer camp, basketball camp. Maybe you like to be around prayer warriors, Tuesday morning whips. Maybe you're very creative and crafty and you like to design things. Seasonal decorating team, Grace Kids Camp decorating team. Or maybe you want to be in a area where you can serve the whole body in a sense at one time. That would be the cleaning ministry, fellowship committee ministry, greeters, Grace Connect booth, sanctuary support, counseling, new moms meals, adoption ministry, AV ministry. I'm going to share a little story here. When Chris and I first started attending Little Grace back in 2007, Pastor Russ learned that I was a middle school math teacher, so you can probably imagine what I'm going to share next, but he asked me to serve in the children's ministry. I'm not proud of this, ladies, but I'm going to share with you what my response was. It was very selfish of me. I told Pastor Russ that I teach all week long, and I don't want to teach on Sundays, too. I was more concerned about what I wanted to do than how God wanted to use me. And praise God, he softened my heart to that. And it wasn't very long after that that I faithfully served in ministry for a very long time. But sometimes, ladies, others may recognize a gift in you that you don't see in yourself or you don't even realize you have. So be open to hearing that and be open to using that gift. In the words of John MacArthur, "Each one of us has one spiritual gift, a blend of the different gifts of the Spirit has put together for each of us. Like a painter who is able to create an infinite number of colors by mixing any combination of the 10 or so colors he carries in his palette, so the Spirit of God blends a little of one gift with a little of another gift to create a perfect combination within you. As a result, you have a unique position in the body of Christ with an ability to minister like no one else can." So ladies, during the little years, it can be very tempting to adopt an identity surrounding your children. The key to keeping Christ and service to his church central to your life and your family when the kids are little and life is crazy is by one, knowing your identity is not the same as your role. Two, providing and receiving sacrificial service. And three, identifying and using your gifts. You do not have to choose between loving your children deeply or loving Jesus supremely. Loving Jesus supremely is the greatest gift you can give the church and your children. Listen to these four questions that I'm going to ask you. And I want you to think about how you want your children to answer them when they're all grown up. Did your children see a mom whose identity was anchored in Christ regardless of circumstances? Did they see a mom planted in the church when it was inconvenient and hard? Did they see a mom serve excellently when it would have been easier for her to sit? Did they see a mom using her gifts to bring God glory and equip the saints? Her children arise and call her blessed, Proverbs 31:28. That doesn't come from flawless parenting. It comes from faithful living. Your hands are full, but your heart must remain anchored. Seek first his kingdom, Matthew 6:33. Trust him with your children, Proverbs 3:5-6. Run with endurance the race marked out for you, Hebrews 12:1. Fulfill your ministry, 2 Timothy 4:5. The little years are not a detour from serving and discipleship. They are teaching and showing your children what serving and discipleship looks like. And one day, it's going to happen fast. You will see that every diaper changed, every tired Wednesday night attended, every rushed Sunday morning leaving the house on time to attend Sunday service, every whispered prayer, every act of quiet faithfulness was never wasted. Because staying faithful with full hands is staying faithful. Children grow, seasons change, homes empty, but Christ remains. Amen? So I have another handout that I wanted to share with you, and I'll let you take it before you leave, but it's the Grace Ministry list, because we talked a lot about serving. So I want you to be able to keep this list, think about what we talked about today, pray about this list, and see maybe where the Lord is putting something on your heart that after today you didn't realize was there or was a need for. And I also want to share with you this book. Pastor Jack shared this book with me. It's Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full. It's a great book. It's a great read. It will bring you back to the gospel, like on every single page multiple times. And I wanted to share that I loved chapter 3, Mommy Brain, chapter 6, A Mother's Love, and chapter 9, The Fictitious Mother of the Year. This is in the bookstore, and I was told there's 3 copies, so if you run out of here, I'll know why. but actually, we maybe have 1 minute left for questions or comments, or if anyone wanted to.
Can you just repeat what you said about loving Jesus supremely?
Oh, yeah, let me go back to that real quick. Of course, I'm not going to be able to find it when I want to. So if I can't find it now, I'll definitely do it after with you. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
You said you don't have to choose between loving your children deeply and loving God supremely.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions?
Yes.
Sure.
Very well done.
Thanks.
Your first point that your identity is not the same in your role in ministry, that's just a great overall point in motherhood and life in general. I can really appreciate that, because having 2 children who are now like at the edge of the nest and I'm about to launch them, I'm convicted. Lord, have I idolized my children? But I have found time and time whenever I serve that's where my joy comes from, because it's so true. Your children make awful saviors.
Amen.
And so do your husband. Does that even matter?
Mm-hmm.
Find your true joy in Jesus. There's always blessing in that.
Yeah, and just for the purpose of recording, Diane summed it up with, when you find your joy in Jesus, there's ultimate blessings in that. We don't find our joy in our children and our husbands. We actually set them up for failure when that occurs. Yeah. All right, well, I am going to close us in prayer. So if you don't mind just bowing your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today and we thank you for the blessing of full hands. May we never lose sight of the high calling of motherhood and how you bless us with that. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your Son who took the penalty for our sins. Help us to live a life that glorifies you in all things. Grant us the wisdom, the strength, and the endurance that we need to keep you first in all things and serve our church when our children are little and life is crazy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.